Welcome to the Heroes Wanted podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenny Robinson here, the game master of the Heroes Wanted podcast, giving an intro to our first episode. So for anyone who's already listened, just in case you were a little confused, this is a remake of our first episode. We had a player who was in the first episode that left, so we wanted to remake it with better sound quality than we had in the first one and omitting the player that decided to leave the podcast. So with that out of the way, if you are a new listener, welcome to the first episode. We are the Heroes Wanted podcast, and we will be playing Paizo's first adventure path for Pathfinder 2nd Edition called The Age of Ashes. We are all really excited to play for you, and we really hope you will enjoy this first episode. I do want to say that we are not affiliated with Paizo in any way. We've purchased the rules manual and the Age of Ashes adventure path all on our own, and we're doing this for fun. Apart from that, we are constantly trying to improve our sound quality and our setup and give you the best experience possible. So without further ado, please enjoy our first episode. Once more, Unto the Breach Hill. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Age of Ashes podcast. How's everyone doing today?
Doing great.
Yeah, wonderful.
I just need to tell everyone that Jeff just lied to us.
That's accurate. Sheer panic.
He is sitting over there before we recorded. He grabbed a bag and he screamed into it several times.
Well, you gotta put it somewhere.
Yeah, otherwise it's just out there in the air. Like, can't have that.
Nobody open that bag.
Riling up dogs.
Yeah. No.
So I am Kenny Robinson. I am going to be the game master for the Age of Ashes adventure path, and I have with me a bunch of my friends here. So why don't we start over here with Kayla? Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Kayla Thomas. I will be playing Gwenog Blacktusk, the half-orc barbarian.
Awesome. And further down the table, directly across from me where I can watch his every move, is Jeff. Introduce yourself.
My name is Jeff. I will be playing the cleric witch doctor, Nazgul Ruth Al.
All right. And finally, we have one more player sitting to my left. David, introduce yourself.
Hello. I'm David Vollen, and I'm going to be playing a champion. His name is Doreen. I'm looking at my character sheet. It says Robinson on here.
Yeah, we've never heard that name before. That's brand new. Very unique.
That's a weird way to suck up to the DM.
Yeah, weird flex. All right, and...
But okay.
We will get right into it. This campaign will take place in the frontier town of Breach Hill, in the Isker region of Galarian. It is a small mountain town with roughly 1,000 people. Breach Hill is home to all manner of races and people from all walks of life, so anyone can kind of feel at home here. One of the cool things and most interesting things about Breach Hill is they have built adventuring into their government structure. Every month, they have what is called the Call for Heroes, and that is where the town council will gather petitions from around town, and adventurers will come and apply for them. And that is where we will start. It is the day of the Call for Heroes. The town bell rings, signaling 11:30, kind of the note for everyone in town to head over for the Call for Heroes, if that's what they want to do. And we will start in a small part of town, relatively nearby the town hall. And we see a squat wooden building. From within that building, we hear the sounds of hammers and chisels on stone. And we go through the door, and in the back room, working on a large chunk of rock, we see Gwenog. She is doing her daily chores when the bell goes off.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god! Uncle, it's time! I have to go!
And Gwenog leaves the back, and standing at the counter is an elderly dwarf man working with a customer, and he looks over and says,
What? It can't be time already. Hold on. And he finishes up with the customer and sends them on their way. And he comes over and stands near Guanong and says, "It can't be time already, Guanong, can it?"
It is time, Uncle. I am so ready. This is my time for sure.
He kind of gives you a sad look and says, "Yeah, I'm sure it is." And, you know, a kind of almost fatherly pat on the arm says, "Just, you know, be careful. Go see the council. You know, I'm sure they'll choose you this time. I'm sure. But, you know, when you're done, just make sure to come on back. There's a lot of stone to cut, okay?"
But they're gonna choose me, Uncle. Cutting stone is not my destiny. I'm gonna be an adventurer. This is my year.
And with that, Gwenog rushes heartily out the door.
And Rorsk follows after, and he kind of watches as you walk through the streets, this sad look on his face, you know, sensing possibly future disappointment, as may have been the past has shown. But Gwenog, in high spirits, certain that this is the month she will get chosen, rushes off.
Oh yeah, this is the year for sure.
And our view raises into the air, and we head over to the northern part of Breach Hill to a small tavern-looking building. The sound of joyous music and raucous laughter comes from inside, and we enter to see a young man seated at the bar. He is wearing a beautiful, pristine breastplate. He has a sword at his hip, and he looks every part the adventurer. The bartender, a human woman, comes over and kind of leans on the bar and says, "Well, Doreen, it's been some time since we've seen you here. Finally back."
"Yep. Here to stay."
"And look at you. Look a lot different than you did a couple years ago."
"Well, you haven't aged a day, Bryn."
"Now don't be trying to get in my good graces. I leave those to Caden." "Well, I believe that's your bell I hear."
"Oh, wow. Really?
Well, it's time. If you're going to go there, you got to get going."
"Okay. It's time. And hey, Bryn, thank you."
She nods, and as you get up to go, she stops you and says, "Here, why don't you take this for the road? Caden would never forgive me if I didn't take care of one of his charges." And she hands you a flask.
I reach out, grab that. I tuck it away, say, "Thank you. Keep it in mind for later."
And you head out of the tavern, the sound of the tavern dying in the distance as you walk through the streets, headed toward the town hall. And we lift up once again, and we go over to the eastern portion of Breach Hill, to a kind of darker and more run-down section. And we go into this building that is painted all black. It has an ostentatious sign on the door that says, "Morta's Mortuary." And we go in, and we see Naz preparing a body for burial. And that is when Naz hears the bell go off.
So I look up from my work, kind of brush my hands off on the apron, smear a little bit of blood, reach over, take a water skin, wash some of it off, and look up. "Oh, that must be the bell."
And as you are leaving, a middle-aged woman in a resplendent black gown, wearing a pale veil with pale skin and pristine white gloves, is waiting by the door, and she says,
"Well, that is indeed your bell, isn't it?"
"It is. Time for me to go."
"It has been wonderful having you here. There are so few people in town willing to handle dead bodies."
"It is interesting to learn the customs of other lands and how they treat their dead."
"Well, we may not share all of the same faiths, but as long as you do your job in Pharasma's graces, then that is acceptable to me."
"Learning new customs is An excellent use of one's time.
Well, you'd best get on your way. The Call of Heroes won't wait for just anyone.
It has been a pleasure. And Naz turns towards the door and heads out.
And we see Naz heading through the streets. He's gotten the instructions on how to get to the town hall before. It's along the river, kind of in the middle of town. And as Naz begins walking through the streets, once he gets to the nicer part of town, people start forming around him. And they all seem really interested in him, questioning whether he is there for the Call for Heroes. And one townsperson will come and be like, "Hey, I don't recognize you. Are you new here?"
"I am a traveler. I have found my way here and am answering the Call for Heroes."
"Wow, that's so cool." And, you know, they look you up and down. And what do they see?
So Naz is tall. He is bald, very tanned skin, and he has a lot of tattoos all over his body, tribal-looking tattoos, red inks, black as well. Wearing leather armor, like a leather battle dress. All of it is things that he has from animals he has skinned and from armor that he has made for himself.
And this person looks you over and says, That armor, it's so cool. Where'd you get it?"
"I hunted these beasts and made it myself."
"Wow, that is so cool. You seem really cool. I mean, you're going to get chosen for sure."
"I hope to do so."
And we move across town and we see Doreen. Mm-hmm. Doreen is heading south from Caden's Keg over the bridge that will lead to the town hall, and he is passing through Monument Circle. Monument Circle is named such because there is a large monument to the town's founder, Laymond Breachton, and everyone in town loves Laymond. They basically see him as the reason the town exists. Back when the town was first founded, about 50 to 60 people basically woke up in the wilderness. No idea who they were, how they got there. And this adventurer, Laymond Breachton, basically saved them and taught them how to live. And so he is seen as almost a godlike figure to them. And you can even tell that as people like pass by the statue, they nod in reverence. Also around the town, around this monument square, are several wells. And these wells are kind of the lifeblood of the town, which is why they put it around the statue of Laymond Breachton to show its significance. And while you are walking through Monument Square, you are met by dozens of people. They see you in your shiny breastplate, looking the part of an adventurer, and they immediately come over to you, and some of them even seem to recognize you. One of them comes up and says, Do I know you?"
"And do they look familiar to me too?"
"Yeah.
Sometimes. Oh yeah. It's me. Doreen. I'm back."
"Doreen? Are you're back? You've been gone for years."
"Yeah. Just got back last night and I'm ready for the Call of Heroes."
"Wow, that's amazing. I mean, you certainly look, you got that shiny breastplate. You look so cool. You look ready. You look like a real adventurer."
"Well, not yet. Will be."
And, several people will come over and are chatting with you, and they look you up and down. Why don't you tell us what they see when they look at you?
Yeah. Doreen is wearing a rather plain set of breastplate. There is no insignia upon it, and seems to be a very new. He had just gotten it for this occasion. On his back, he has a steel shield, and on his side, a scabbard for his short sword. And other than that, he's carrying a small pack on his side, full of what he presumes to be all the necessities for a novice adventurer.
All right, and as you continue your way towards the town hall, the crowd just keeps growing. More people want to catch up with you and see what you've been doing the past couple years. And also heading toward the town hall from the southern direction is Gwenog. Gwenog is heading in, and the people gathering around don't seem to gravitate to her the same way that they gravitated to the other two. There seems to be an air of familiarity, and Gwenog just happens to be walking next to someone else, and the person's like, "Ah, you're at it again, Gwenog."
"Yeah, it didn't go so well the last time, or the time before that, or the time before... Listen, this is my time. They have to choose me."
"Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. This is the time. This is your time."
I'm glad you believe me. Your confidence means so much."
And, you know, they look you over as you're going, what are you wearing? What do you look like?"
"Yeah, well, so Gwenog, having done this time and time again, pretty much every call for the last several years, Gwenog has made a point of showing up to. But at this point, you can tell that she doesn't really believe it as much as she's just going through the motions. Like, she didn't even bring her armor. She's still in her, you know, apron, her Tuska head stoneworks apron and bandana from work. Like, she knows at the end of the day she's just going to be heading right back to Uncle Rorsch to cut some stone afterwards. But it's fun for her to believe, at least for a couple hours, that she might really be an adventurer one day."
And you head over to the town hall. You get there around the same time as everyone else, and a crowd has gathered outside, as it normally does. The Call for Heroes is an event, and people love to attend. They love to meet the heroes that are petitioning for jobs. And you all know that you're supposed to basically wait around until a council member comes to greet you and bring you in. And while you all are waiting around, there is a well-dressed goblin in a robe with a fancy hat and a symbol of Desna around her neck. And she is kind of pacing back and forth, kind of fretting, and anyone who's nearby can hear her go,
Oh my bumble brashers. Oh, my bumble brashers."
Does anyone wish to engage with this goblin?
Doreen will. He'll walk forward tentatively and just stoop just the slightest bit to be respectful, but say, "Is everything all right?"
Oh no, everything's not all right. My name's Warble, and I'm the ambassador of the Bumble Brasher Goblins, and I haven't heard from them in so long. I'm worried."
How long has it been since you heard from them?"
"Well, Helba, our chief, is supposed to meet with me regularly, and she's missed two meetings now. I mean, she loves our meetings."
"Oh, wow. That's concerning."
I know.
And she kind of looks you up and down, sees your shiny breastplate, and says,
Are you an adventurer?"
Yes."
Oh man. That's great. I mean, you look awesome. Are you going to take a petition? Are you looking for a job?"
"That's what I'm here for. Yes. I'm familiar with the Bumble Brashers. Are they new here?"
No, the Bumble Brashers has been living nearby town for, you know, a couple decades.
Okay.
You may not know Warble.
Yeah.
Warble, the Bumble Brashers not Bumble Brashers, but goblins in general tend to leave short and dangerous lives. Mm. So the ambassador's probably changed a couple times over the years, so you probably don't recognize Warble herself.
And about this time, Gwenog, seeing a potentially familiar face, steps up to Warble in this shiny adventure.
Oh my god, Doreen! Is that you?"
"Oh, Gwenog, whoa." Stands up straight.
When did you get back? Oh my god. Did you finish everything? You have to tell Warble. Did you know Doreen's a paladin?"
"You're a paladin?"
And she looks at you with these huge goblin eyes, just wonder.
"Yeah, he's a badass."
Doreen gulps and, "I'm sorry, I'm not a paladin. I'm a liberator."
Well, that's That's cool, I guess.
That's still really cool, Warble.
Thank you, Gwenog.
Oh, well, Doreen, I really hope you will take my petition. You're my tribe's only hope. And I'm standing right here.
She kind of looks over. I look around. Are there other adventurers that have shown up? People that look like that?
From looking around, you can't really tell who might be adventurers. Only one other person in the crowd kind of stands out, and that's Naz. Mm-hmm. But no one else seems to be really there for a job. And Warble will look over at Gwenog and be like,
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll have some petitions for you this time.
I know they will. It's my year.
And as you are talking to Warble, a woman steps out of the town hall, and she is an older human female wearing a regal gown and standing with like perfect posture. And she calls out to everyone and says,
"Will the heroes who are gathered today for petitions please step forward?" And she scans the crowd.
Doreen excuses himself. I'm sorry, Warble. We'll talk later. And goes and steps forward.
Bye, Warble. I'll see you when I'm a hero.
Okay.
Gwenog, like, leaps forward out of the crowd.
Naz has been standing in the background, just sort of waiting to be addressed by someone. And now that they have, he steps forward as well.
All right. And Greta greets all of you and says,
"Hello, heroes. I guess this is it for this particular call. No matter, please come inside. We have a small waiting area where you can wait until the council is ready." And she leads you inside to a small waiting area. There are several couches, tables, and things for you to make, you know, spend time waiting until the council is ready. She says, "All right, I will need to take down your names for the petitions. Gwenog, obviously, I know who you are." And she will write your name down and turns and says, "And you, in the breastplate.
It's Doreen Robinson?"
"Doreen? Yes, Doreen, you're that foolish boy who left several years back."
Foolish. I see. I'm back, though. So,
yes. We'll see.
What?
And she looks...
Oh my god, was that a threat?
Oh, we'll see if I'm back or not.
Yeah. Yeah, you're real back.
And she looks over at Naz and says, "And you are certainly new here. Never seen the likes of you before."
Naz looks over at her, nods, says, "I am new in town. My name is Nazgul Ruth Al. An accent mark over the A, an accent mark over the U, an accent mark over the other U, and a dash between Ruth and Al."
And she meticulously takes down your name. Says, "Ah, yes, and I will mark here that this is your first time at the Call for Heroes. Doreen, I guess it is your first time as well."
Mm.
"And Gwenog, you know how all this works, but I will return once the council is ready, once the petitioners have prepared their petitions. Please take some time. If you need any refreshments, there is water available on the table, and I will be back shortly." And she heads out, leaving you all alone in this chamber to talk to each other. And I suggest you do so.
Doreen, do you know him?
A glance, not so subtly, over at Naz.
Naz just looks between the two of them, clearly able to hear.
"He looks so cool. Will you come talk to him with me?"
"Yeah, I'll go with you, Gwenog."
"Awesome, thanks."
Well, Naz stands there, but like pretends that he wasn't listening. Like looks out the window or something.
"Hey, have you met Doreen? He's really cool."
"He certainly seems, as you say, cool.
He's a pet liberator."
Indeed, he looks formidable. As do you.
Yeah, Gwenog's, I think, one of the strongest people in town.
She certainly looks it. Granted, that would be a great asset in battle.
Hey, Gwenog, why... have you been able to get any petitions while I've been away?
Yes. No. They never pick me.
Why? Why wouldn't they?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter. This is the one. First time. Nailed it.
And as you all are talking, a couple minutes have gone by, and there's a knock at the door, and a young human man just kind of pops his head and says, hello, everybody. The council is ready. The petitioners have gathered. If you will follow me, we will head in.
All right.
Yeah, Gwenog heartily leads the way. I mean, she's done this before. She knows where to go.
Right, and you are led into the petitioner's chamber, and it is a large room with several benches on either side and a plush red carpet leading up to a raised dais. There are 5 desks upon the dais with a council member seated at each one. They have name placards in front of them, going from west to east, or from your vantage point, left to right. You have Jorsk Hinterclaw.
Hang on, let me write these down.
Melma Ann Sindari. Greta Gardania, who you recognize as the one who led you in. Trini Spizzlegig, which you would all recognize as the general shop owner. And Quintino Posandi, who Gwenog would know is the rival stoneworker in town.
God, I hate him so much.
Quintino. Okay.
Doreen breathes a sigh of relief.
And apart from Jorsk, who is a dwarf, and Trini, who is a gnome, the other 3 are all human.
Hmm.
You all are led to the front left bench, seated kind of right in front of the counselors. You can see Warble across the way from the carpet. She is seated on the front right. There does not appear to be anyone else in that row. Your Uncle Rorsk is in the far back right, kind of sitting about as far away as he can, trying to kind of remain hidden. But you can see him there, and he gives a meek little wave. And Bryn from Caden's Keg is kind of seated a couple rows back from you guys, and she gives an excited thumbs up to Doreen. And Morta is standing ominously at the door, just watching everything, and gives a weird smile to Doreen. All in all, there are about...
Wait, you mean to Naz?
Oh, yes, to Naz. Right. Morta gives a weird smile to Naz.
It's kind of like a wink. Like, so Naz, you going to be... You gonna be stopping by there later or what?
You know, bring her something nice.
You know, heart.
Yeah.
Bodies don't speak.
Wow. You went there.
All in all, there are about 40 people gathered here, mixed in the benches on either side. And after everyone has kind of come in and settled down a little bit, there's a sharp rap of a gavel on the desk. And Greta stands up with deeply furrowed brow, but kind eyes, and she calls out, and her voice just fills the hall as if she's a practiced public speaker.
Welcome, neighbors and friends, to the Breach Hill Town Council's monthly call for heroes. I am Council President Greta Gardania, at your service. On behalf of my colleagues beside me, I promise you all that we will hear and consider today's petition with the utmost discretion and care. There is no existence without community, as our town charter says. And several people in town will repeat that in almost a religious rote, like, as our charter says. Today, our agenda has 1 petition. Miss Warble, our very own ambassador to the Bumblebrashers of Hell Knight Hill, requests the help of heroes for a matter of utmost importance. Let's hear her concerns in her own words, shall we? Miss Warble.
And Warble, who is sitting across the way from you guys, her
little goblin feet dangling off the bench, hops down and moves over to the stairs by the dais. And she looks around excitedly.
Esteemed counselors, it has been more than a month since I've been able to contact the Bumblebrashers. I fear that something terrible has befallen them. What's more, I've seen my people's distress signal coming from the top of Citadel Alterine.
But before she can finish her sentence, the door to the west flies open, mm-hmm. and black smoke billows out. A human man comes running out, covered in ink stains, coughing heavily, and falls to the ground and says,
"There's fire! There's a fire! Everyone, run!"
And we'll see you next week.
What? Man.